We just have enjoyed our visit with you. Thank you for your gifts to Christ Life Ministries. We appreciate that. Thank you for believing God big for next week at the Ladies Prayer Advance. Largest crowd ever coming in. Special guest, Holy Spirit. And who cares about the rest of it? I mean, if that's on, it's on, right? So it's going to be great. So thanks so much for the opportunity to be here this week. Back on the table, we got a couples advance coming up into September in Pigeon Forge. Beautiful Pigeon Forge couples advance. Make plans now. Get the hotels quick before they go through the roof. All right. And also a couple of books back there. Here's one, The Oasis, The Daily Refreshment for the Thirsty Soul. Excellent quotes that'll stimulate your heart and bless you. Now, tonight, I have insight into your assignment. I have special revelation into your purpose and my purpose, your assignment and mine. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the ministry of refreshment. My wife and I were in Fairfax, Virginia, and we got invited out to the home of an Egyptian couple. Never been to Egypt, always wanted to see the pyramids, but I don't think a tire necklace would fit too good around my neck, so we've not gone to Egypt, but we got invited out to the home of these Egyptians, and we didn't know what to expect, because we'd never been around Egyptian people. Well, they were the most delightful host. They had prepared 20 entrees, like 20 meats, Lebanese and Egyptian food. I mean, they prepared for 3 days to have us. We laughed, we fellowshiped, we talked about real life issues. We just had the time of our lives. And when we left, I said to my wife, I said, when was the last time you can remember being so refreshed by being in somebody's house? That's what I said to her. And I'm just telling you, it was absolutely tremendous. Now, we all know people, when we get around them, we're better off for having been around them. We all know people who they help us to gain perspective, to see our life more clearly and to see our situation more clearly. And these people, they're refreshers. So I want to talk to you tonight about the ministry of refreshment. And we've got about 4 scriptures up front. So in the interest of time, we'll look at the first one, okay? Thanks, Terry. Appreciate this. Now look at this text right here. It came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. Now read this bolden part out loud. So Saul was refreshed and was well. So here old David, he's over here strumming on the harp. And he's oppressed, got this evil spirit on him. And the Bible says that Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Now the word refresh here in this verse means to breathe freely. It means to revive. It means to be enlarged. So David used his gift of music to refresh and to restore Saul's spirit, the ministry of refreshment. Notice this next one from 2 Timothy chapter 1. Notice what it says. The Lord, this is short, so we're going to practice our responsive reading because your congregation needs help. All right, so out loud together now. Follow me. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. Notice that. He oftentimes, Paul said, he oft refreshed me. Now the word here means, refresh means to cool off, like when you're hot. So it means to relieve. So Onesiphorus was like a glass of ice cold water on a scorching hot day. The ministry of refreshment. Notice this next text, if you would. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because, now read the bolden part out loud, because his spirit was refreshed by you. Now what does this mean? His spirit was refreshed. The word refresh here means to give rest. So the Corinthian believers brought comfort and rest to Titus. He was refreshed by these individuals. Now there's about at least 10 scriptures, I believe, on this idea of refresh, refreshing, or refreshed in the Bible. But notice one more from Romans chapter 15, if you would. Paul said that I might come unto you by the will of God, by the will of God, with joy by the will of God. Now read it out loud, and may with you be refreshed. Now, they weren't going to be refreshed only. He wasn't going to be refreshed only. That, notice what it says, that we may be refreshed with you, be refreshed. In other words, there was a mutual benefit, a joint benefit. The word refresh here means to refresh yourself in company. Now, Paul knew that being in the company with these people would mutually refresh them all. Now, I don't have to tell you this. We live in a world filled with agitators, aggravators, irritators, grumblers, whiners, critics, and scoffics, but the church should be a community of encouragement. So tonight, we're going to talk about the ministry of refreshment. Bow your head for a moment, and let's open our hearts to God and ask the Holy Spirit to come and give us something special tonight. Ask the Lord to put us on mission tonight, give us some vision of our purpose, one of our purposes here on planet Earth. Father, thank you tonight for these dear people that are here again tonight. Lord, talk to us. We're listening. We, by faith, we anticipate blessing, and we thank you for charging us and putting us on mission, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me give you tonight the characteristics of a refresher. The characteristics of a refresher. I want to exhort you tonight to be an exhorter. I want to empower you to empower other people. And this is really pretty simple. It doesn't make any difference what your temperament is. It doesn't make any difference what your spiritual gift is. It doesn't make any difference what your personality is. Everybody can do this. So I'm going to give you about 7 or 8 things tonight about the ministry of refreshment. What are the characteristics of a refresher? Well, number one, if you're going to have a ministry of refreshment, then you're going to have a positive attitude. You're going to have a positive attitude. Spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. Spend your life focusing on what you love instead of what you hate. You know what an attitude is? An attitude is a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. An attitude, what is it? It's a learned tendency to evaluate things in a certain way. And you can go out, you can cultivate a positive attitude. I don't care how pessimistic you are by nature. I'm telling you, you can cultivate a positive attitude. Now, go out of your way to say good morning in church. How many of you know your pastor is a friendly guy? I mean, he's a hospitable guy. He's a smiling kind of guy. Every time I see him, he's always smiling. Well, that's one way you can refresh people, is by learning to have a positive attitude. Greet everybody with a smile. Be upbeat. Let your mouth overflow with grace. And don't be critical. The Bible says, let no corrupt, rotten, putrid communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't do it. But that which is good to the use of edifying. You heard about the Quaker? He had this cow, and he was out there in the barn milking his cow, and all of a sudden the cow kicked the milk pail over and spilled all the milk. Well, he got it set back up, and then the cow put his dirty foot in the middle of the milk pail. And if that wasn't enough, the cow took his filthy tail and swung it and hit the Quaker right in the face with all that junk coming off on his face. So the Quaker had all he could take. So the Quaker said to the cow, He said to the cow, thou knowest that I am a Quaker, and I cannot hit thee or curse thee or kill thee. The Quaker said to the cow, but I can sell thee to a Baptist, and he will beat the devil out of you. You know, an optimist can find opportunity in every calamity. How about that song that was just sung right here? Blessings. An optimist can find opportunity in every calamity, but a pessimist can find calamity in every opportunity. Now, refreshers are people who choose to focus on the sunny side. They're positive people. They speak life. Pointed encouragement based upon facts. Now, look, refreshers, they impart energy. They give hope. They're putter-inners instead of taking-outers. They're putter-inners instead of taker-outers. You know, refreshers are people who put into you rather than draw and suck the life right out of you. You ever get around people who suck the life right out of you? You ever get around folks that have a slow motion speech? Well, and they'll make 15 syllables out of a one syllable word. Well, you know, brother Harold, and man, I'm hyper to start with, and I'm sitting there wishing they would get on with the program. And, you know, it just kind of just sucks the life right out of you. Now, be an energy giver and not an energy taker. Now look, your spirit communicates as loudly as your words. Your presence can empower people. I believe that. Duncan Campbell said the greatest thing about a man is his unconscious influence. The greatest thing about a person is their they're not even aware of it. Manly Beasley was a Baptist evangelist. He became a role model for faith. He had 21 unrelated terminal illnesses. Most people get one terminal illness, and that pretty well takes care of it. But he would get sick, and he would get healed. And lo and behold, he'd come down with another serious terminal illness. This happened 21 times. He was a man of faith. He was in the hospital one time, deathly ill in terrible pain. Six Baptist preachers flew in to try to encourage him, but it wasn't working. When all of a sudden, here this humble woman walks into his room with a paper sack in her hand. It was Corrie Ten Boom. And Manly Beasley said this. He said when Corrie Ten Boom walked into the room, the hospital room, he said, "I don't know whether the room went to heaven or whether heaven came to the room. But when she walked in," he said, "Jesus walked in." And he said this, "His pain didn't subside, but his ability to cope with it did." Your very presence can minister help to people. Now, attitude is a little thing that goes a long way. And your thoughts can lift people or depress people. Do you understand that thoughts have a presence? Do you understand that? You know, when there's a crime scene, they put up those tapes, you know, because they know that entering into that environment, it changes the environment. And I want to tell you something. When you enter an environment, you're going to change it for good or for worse. And I'm just telling you, your thoughts have a presence, which in your mind translates into an atmosphere. Why? Because your thoughts give birth to words. I mean, your words are just the overflow of your heart. And what you dwell on in your mind and in your soul will find expression through your lips and through your unseen presence, as it were. Somebody said a word can reach a wound that only compassion can heal. Constructive speech flows out of a happy heart. And refreshers are people who intentionally connect with people. They're the ones that will go see the people that are sick or shut in or grieving or dying or whatever, and they listen. A positive attitude is contagious. Paul longed to be with the Roman Christians because he knew he would be benefited, and so would they. You know, there's some places I like to go as an evangelist, not because I think anything really great is going to happen, but because I just like the people, and I like to be around them, you know? And I'm just telling you, people with a positive attitude are attractive. So if you're going to be a refresher, you got to have a positive attitude. Number two, if you're going to have a ministry of refreshment, you got to have genuine concern. Genuine concern. Now, I want to tell you something. The hardness of heart, the hardness of people, the hardness of life can cause us to become hard-hearted. But as we saw the other night, we're supposed to be tender-hearted. Now, genuine concern. Paul said, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." Genuine concern. You know what compassion means? It means to suffer together. The word passion means suffer. C-O-M, the prefix, means together. So compassion is just suffering together. We're fellow sufferers. We're fellow saints, and we're fellow sinners. So to be empathetic just means that we're sensing what's going on in somebody else's heart because of experience or because we put ourselves in their shoes. Now, empathy is me feeling your pain in my heart. If I'm empathetic, that means I'm feeling your pain in my heart. How many know that even animals can tell if you like them? Even animals can tell. So can people. I was in Alabama. We went to see this lady. She was an elderly person who was on hospice, and she was about to graduate. So we went to visit her. Well, we got hung up in the driveway talking to her son. And here we are trying to offer comfort to this son whose mom is about to check out at any moment. Well, this mangy, flea-bitten Alabama cat came out from around the house. And guess who he was attracted to? Me. I attract all kinds of bad things, some good things. But so here's this cat comes up beside of me, and I see him, and there he's just rubbing up beside my leg. You know how they do, just rubbing up beside my leg, and I could just feel the transference of fleas from his fur under my leg. So I'm sitting here trying to look concerned, you know, trying to comfort this guy. Oh, brother, I'm sorry to hear. I had to kick the cat 5 times before he got the message. It was a retarded cat on top of the rest of it. Even animals can tell if you like them. I'm going to tell you, people can too. And the greatest thing you can give is your time and your concern. Somebody said that concern should drive us into action and not into depression. You know, sensitive people, there are some of us who can pick up an emotional vibration from 50 miles and we absorb it. And it can be devastating. I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, so I'm talking to the 3 of you that know what I'm talking about right here. And I'm just telling you, it can be overwhelming to enter into somebody else's grief and somebody else's suffering. I hate to go to funerals because, if they ain't weeping, I am. It's just the way it is. And I'm just telling you, it's good to a point, but it can become a liability if it becomes overwhelming. Now listen, compassionate people are available when you need them. They're not never in a hurry. So take a real interest in helping other people. Don't rush out of church when the last amen is over. We go some places, and buddy, the place will evacuate in 5 seconds flat. That's a bad sign that ain't nothing going on in that place. I'm just telling you, it's just not good. Now, we were in a friend of mine's church years and years and years ago, and it was myself and another evangelist there for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, on Sunday morning, the other evangelist got up, and he rebuked the church. He got up there, and he said, "This is the most unfriendly church I've ever been in my entire life." Well, it was the truth. It was a self-centered bunch. He said, "This is the most unfriendly church I've ever been in my life." He said, "My wife had been here for 5 services. Not one person has shaken our hands." And I'm sitting there thinking, brother, you're telling the truth, but you're killing the love offering, man. I'm just telling you. Now, after he finished that morning, you've never seen so many people make a mad dash to shake their hands and ours. But you know, when you got to be shamed into being friendly, it's really no good, is it? It's really not a good thing. Now, look, speak to people. Invite people in your home for a meal. Take them out to North Star like Don did us tonight. It's tremendous. Now, seek out those who visit your church and get to know them. The Bible says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So when you're concerned, you help bear other people's loads. Now, characteristics of a refresher, number 3, be a good listener. Look at this right here. Be a good listener. Somebody said there's no greater loan than a sympathetic ear. There's no greater loan than a sympathetic ear. So you lend somebody your ear. Silence is often more beneficial than advice. You know, how do people feel after spending time with you? You ever have somebody come to your house and they don't know when to leave? I had a friend one, my cousin, he had a vacuum cleaner salesman come in, and the dude wouldn't leave until he made the sale. So he said to my cousin said to his wife at 10:30, he said, "Well, I think we ought to go to bed so they can leave." And you know something, how do people feel? How do people feel after they spend time in your presence? If you'll listen to them, they'll appreciate you. There's a pastor over our way. I go up and pray with him every now and then and just kind of drop in. And he said, you know what he always says every time? He says, "Thanks for being a good listener." Now, I've discovered this, that Job's friends helped him as long as they keep their mouths closed. But the moment they opened their mouth, they lost their ministry to their friend. And I want to say this, that when you're talking to people, give yourself completely to them. I let them talk it out. Don't interrupt. If they stutter, don't try to forecast what they're about to say. Just intentionally focus on them. Have a courteous interest in them. A courteous interest in them. Now, if you'll sit before people and listen to them without making commentary and begging clarification on every point, just let them talk it out. Just pay attention. And After they finish, they'll give you credit for having tremendous wisdom in helping them, and all you had to do was keep your mouth shut. That's exactly right. So don't be a busybody. Don't gossip. You don't refresh people by down-talking other people. I mean, there's enough bad news out there. And how many have to struggle to stay on the positive side? Amen. I mean, it's intentional, isn't it? So just do this. Now, the old Puritan said, he that speaks a slander carries the devil in his tongue, and he that receives a slander carries the devil in his ear. Anybody can find the dirt on others. You be the one that looks for the gold. Be a good listener. Just give yourself to people. Number four, you want to refresh people. This is pretty simple. Honest communication. Honest communication. You know, honesty is so rare, it's refreshing. Candidness is so rare, it's even if you don't agree with them. They're just telling you what they really think. It becomes refreshing. Now, a compliment is verbal sunshine. Verbal sunshine. Listen to this quote. A pat on the back, though only a few vertebrae removed from a kick in the pants, is miles ahead in results. What's in the well comes up in the bucket, all right? Honest communication. The Bible says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That means let your yes be yes and your no be no. Say what you mean what you say. Don't give false praise. Be straightforward, non-wavering, direct communication. Don't speak in code. You know what I often say to my wife? I said, what were they trying to say? It'd been much easier if they just come out and said what they were trying to say and without speaking with all of this code language. So always be truthful. Now, I had a buddy one time. He had gotten into a bad habit of taking God's name in vain. And he was unaware of it. It was unintentional. It was unknown. But he was still blaspheming, though unconsciously about it. So he kept on doing it, so... He was a guy that would get all excited, and he would use this kind of terminology. Bless, G-O-D. Other people would curse when they got excited, but he would use God's name as an expression of surprise. And it wasn't like, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, but it was more like an expression of surprise and startlement. Bless, G-O-D. And the reason, by the way, the reason I'm not saying it like he said it is because you can fake blasphemy. The only way to take God's name in vain is to actually take God's name in vain. Amen. Are you with me on this radio? So he was unaware that he was using God's name lightly, frivolously, inappropriately, and we're pretty good friends. So I said, now, brother, I just need to talk to you about something. I didn't hit him up with a spiritual 2x4. I just kind of humbly said, now, brother, I just need to talk. And I told him, I said, you know, you don't know this, but you're taking God's name in vain when you use that expression. Well, he sat there and listened. He took it, and he thanked me for bringing it to his attention. Deacon walked into the room, and he said to the deacon, he said, Brother Harold, just rebuke me, and I want to thank God for it, because he was unaware. And that was an honest communication. That was a candid communication. Now, how many of you understand that talking to people, sometimes you need to have a private conversation. You don't need to stand in front of the church and try to get something reconciled. If you got a problem with somebody, go to them in private and just try to sort the thing out and say what you need to say. And you know something? The best friends you have are the people that'll tell you the truth. That will not tell somebody else, they'll tell you. They are really good friends. Critics sometimes can serve a great purpose, you know. Now, just think about this for a second. Think about the people you enjoy being with. Now, just think about the people you really enjoy being with. I know some guys, every time we get together, we start laughing and we laugh the whole time. I mean, we just have a big time. Now, think about the people you enjoy being with. They make you laugh. Not everything is drop-dead serious. I mean, you just enjoy their company. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to weep. I mean, there's a time for everything, you know. And happiness is one commodity that's not diminished when it's shared. So be a Monday morning encourager. Be a Monday morning encourager. Send your pastor an email or a text and just I thank him. Send the choir. The choir did good on the second try the other night. Amen. I mean, send him a note and thank him. Amen. And whatever. I mean, you know, your Sunday school teacher or whatever. Just, you know, be an encouragement. I thank people for the benefit they've been in your life. And if there's any praise, give it out. I mean, send the roses now. They ain't going to smell them when they're gone, you know. Just do it now. That'd be a good idea for some of us, just to send some little old grandma, some widow, some flowers or something every now and then. Just do something like that, I'm telling you. And be honest in your communication. So, number five, if you want to have a ministry of refreshment, you got to have an obvious faith. An obvious faith. Pray prayers of faith. Don't pray prayers of doubt. Always couch everything with thanksgiving. I mean, pray prayers of faith, not prayers of doubt. Don't interrogate people when they're sick or in crisis. Don't speculate about their chances of survival. Don't quote statistics you read on the internet regarding their illness. I got diagnosed with diverticulosis, and one of my buddies sent me an email and said, yeah, my cousin got that, and he didn't last 2 years. How many know you shouldn't do anything like that? How many know that's really stupid? That's the nicest word I can think of, is stupid, for something like that. But don't do that. They're already struggling, so speak a little faith into their lives. Your faith will inspire them. And refuse to give them your surefire health food remedy. don't do that. Well, if you'll take this, it'll fix everything. That's not true, brother. That's just not true. Get off it. And if it helped you, hallelujah. But let me get back to try to be encouraging here. All right, words in faith encourage people. A word spoken in season, or a word fitly spoken, is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. You know what that means? It's refreshing. You can refresh people by the way you talk to them. You know, Jesus said to Peter, he said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. You know what he did? He gave a mental photograph to Peter concerning his future. He inspired him. You know what? The Lord said to Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars of the sky, like the sands on the seashore. What did he do? He gave him a mental photograph of their future. You know, how many think that it's time for middle-class Christian people to start thriving on a little spiritual ambition, get over our mediocrity, and believe God for something really good, and on purpose try to inspire people to achievement by giving them a mental photograph of their future? This young man right here sitting here, these young people sitting right here, I'm just telling you, your whole life's ahead of you. Who knows what God's got for you? You follow God, the Holy Ghost, and you'll wind up in the right place. I'm just telling. Just what about that? Now, listen, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Speak faith into people's lives. Pastor buddy of mine in Northeast Pennsylvania, he said to me one day, Harold, the fundamental churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. That's what he said. He said, the fundamental churches in our area are not the life-giving churches. How many know that fundamentalism on ice is no better than liberalism on ice? We don't need an iceberg, brother. We need the heat and the power and the breath of God on what we're doing. So our ministries ought to bring life to people. It ought to speak life to people. It ought to be ministering life to people. Jesus' words were spirit and they were life. It says in Proverbs 15, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. A faithful messenger will refresh people by speaking words of faith, an obvious faith. Number six, you want to have a ministry of refreshment? Learn to be a generous giver. Learn to be a generous giver. Now listen to this. Charles Dickens said, no one is useless who lightens the burdens of another. No one is useless who lightens the burdens of another. More people fail for lack of encouragement than for any other reason. So purpose to be a need meter. Purpose to be a need meter. When you see it, hop on it. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, talked about how the Corinthian church were in a great trial of affliction, yet they had an abundance of joy. They had a great trial of affliction, yet an abundance of joy. They had deep poverty that abounded to the riches of their liberality. They were strapped, but they were generous. I mean, these things don't seem to go together. And the Bible says that they gave this great gift. And Paul said, this they did, not as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord. Now, the Bible says they first gave themselves. The Corinthians were givers. Now, they were refreshers. You know, refreshers are investors. Refreshers are investors. You know what they do? They invest they first give themselves, and then they invest their time, they invest their resources, they invest their emotional energy by giving. But they first give themselves to the Lord, then they give their resources. So if you want to refresh people, be a generous giver. Sow into people's lives. Now look, if you're hurting personally, find somebody hurting worse than you and sow a little encouragement into their lives. How many know that everything you've got is a seed? Money is a seed. Time is a seed. Compassion is a seed. Listening is a seed. I mean, everything you've got is a seed in that sense. Now, did you realize you can help people when you can't find any help yourself? You can even help people when you can't find any help yourself. Jesus was hanging on the cross, about ready to die for the sins of the world. And what's he doing? Ministering to the crook on the cross right beside of him. You can help people when you can't find help yourself. And I'm telling you, when you're in the pit, you're better off to try to help somebody else to get out of their pit. It'll take the focus off of you. And you know, when you really get around people that's really hurting, then you begin to think, well, you know, my problems ain't all that bad anyhow. You know, really, I mean, really, this is a light affliction. Look at what they've got. I said to Debbie all the time, I said, we don't have any problems. We've never had any problems. Doug Hollish's wife, 50 years old, over at Blue Ridge, she got cancer and she just died. And they're going to have her memorial service tomorrow. 50 years old. Her son is a good friend of our family and a good friend of mine. And you know, they're having a hard time coping with this thing. Well, buddy, I'll tell you what, we can send them a text, amen. We can send them a little booklet, amen. We can give them a little flower, amen. We can go and hug their neck, amen. Yeah, are you with me on this right here? Now be a generous, learn how to be a generous giver. Now help people when they're sick. And by the way, I don't care how good the insurance is. If you get sick and have to go somewhere, it's going to cost you a pile of money. Affordable health care was a lie. So help people, all right? If they're out of work, they've had a tragedy, just go out of your way to try to bless somebody. I was in Decatur, Illinois. Right behind the church in the neighborhood. Two mothers were out walking their five children when a fellow in a pickup, the sun got in his eyes, and he ran over the two mothers and the five children. A two-year-old boy was killed, and the rest of them were in the hospital. Well, the pastor said to me, he said, Harold, I'm going to visit the father of the child who was killed in this accident behind the church. Would you like to go? I said, I sure would. I would love to go. Well, we went. Knocked on the door. Here comes this 32-year-old kid, young man, father whose son's just been killed, comes to the door barefooted, hadn't shaved in a day or two, and, you know, looking about like you'd look if something like that had happened. And the pastor looked him right in the eye and said, we heard what happened to your son and your family. And we just want to let you know, we're the church right up here on the corner. And we're praying for you, and we're praying for your family. And we just got a little gift right here. We would just like to give this to you, maybe to be a help to you. And I was proud to be a child of God. You know, when things happen in the community, we ought to be the first ones on the doorstep to try to help them. How many of you know you can help people who's not Independent Baptist? Some of us have the notion that our group is the only group that's going to heaven when they die, and that is not true, all right? Now, we are what we are by conviction, but we can love anybody, even Muslims, even atheists. I mean, are y'all with me on this point right here? Some of us need to get that Pharisee block knocked off our shoulder and open up our hearts and get the love of God in us. Jesus was hanging out with the worst of the worst, that they criticized him for it. And listen, learn to be a generous giver. Just sow into people when they're going through these kind of things. I mean, you can really refresh people by doing things like that. I was in West Virginia in a meeting, and it was Belleville, West Virginia. What was the name of that? Fundamental Baptist Church, is that what it was? And there was a little Church of God woman in there who was 89 years old, and she was like the most positive person I've ever met in my life. She had no reasons to be positive. She was married to an alcoholic. Her house was so bad, I wouldn't put an animal in it. Let me just put it to you like that. She had had a hard life, but you couldn't ever tell it. She had a simple, strong faith. God's good, Jesus saves, and that's, I mean, she was just that kind of person. And she was a giver. She never had any material wealth her whole life. But every time I'd come to church, she'd bring me a gift. One night she brought me a little lamp like you'd win at the carnival, made in China, one piece, junk. But you know something? It meant a whole lot to me, considering who gave it to me, because she gave out of her nothingness that to me. She'd give me some every night, Randy. One night she gave me a comb. I don't know if it had been used or it had any teeth left, but she gave me a comb. And every night she'd come with some little trinket. You know, I kept those things because that meant something to me. And you know what? You don't have to be a big deal. I mean, just you can go with what you got. You know what I'm saying? Just work with what you got there. I'm telling you, you can bless people. Now, listen to the voice of God in the matter of giving to meet the needs of other people. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 16, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaeus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. That's what Paul said. They didn't give him nothing where he was at, so these three come along and help him out. Now, listen, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours, therefore acknowledge them as such. They refreshed. How? By giving. Winston Churchill said, We make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. So you know what that means? If you have a nice truck and the other guy doesn't, you ought to pray about giving that truck to that guy. I'm just kidding, Pastor. Pastor's got a hard heart, but anyhow. You know what this means? Buy somebody's lunch anonymously. So you're in the restaurant. Here's this little grandma sitting over in the corner. And just say to the waitress, hey, come here. Hey, you see that lady over there? I would like to take care of her bill, and I would like you to tell her that a friend bought her dinner. Do you know there's a lot of people that nobody ever shows them any favor? I got people showing me favor all the time. You know what I'm determined? I'm going to show favor to as many people as I can. So here's some guy over in the restaurant. I was up at the restaurant the other day. Here's this dude sitting over there, man, who looked like a street guy. And I said to the lady, I said, hey, I would like to take care of his meal. And she said, somebody already has. You know, sometimes you can say to the waitress, hey, what's the biggest tip you ever got? And by the way, when you're paying for somebody else's meal, give a generous tip to the waitress. Don't tip like a Baptist. Tip like a charismatic. Them people know how to give. That's why they got. They're the ones with the jets and the television station. Here we are with Volkswagen, except for the pastor has that nice truck that he won't give away. That, but anyhow. So say sometimes you can say to the waitress. You can say something like that. Hey, what's the biggest tip you ever got? We sat in a restaurant the other day. I said to the waitress, I said, hey, what's the biggest tip you ever got? She said, $20, but not in this dump. That's what she said. And I said to my wife, I said, we got $20.10. Yeah, let's just give her the biggest tip she's ever got. I know a girl, she's a waitress, and somebody gave her a $1,000 tip. Now, I don't have $1,000 tip in faith, but I do have $20 tip in faith. Amen? And just, are you with me on this right here? Just instead of trying to get out of it for as little as you can get by with, every now and then, just try to help somebody. I heard about a fella went into a restaurant. The woman was rude, threw the thing down, and just the service was awful. Food was incredibly bad. The whole thing was a disaster. He left her a huge tip. He walked out, didn't eat the meal. It wasn't fit to eat. And she comes chasing him, weeping, and says, I was rude to you, and this was awful. Why did you do this? He said, you know, I just figured you were having a pretty bad day, and I just wanted to do something to encourage you. If I'm not mistaken, he led her to the Lord right on the spot. So be a generous giver. Just learn to sow into people's lives. Now, look, if a cup of cold water gets attention in heaven, I can buy a Coca-Cola, amen? That's why at the prayer events, we're giving away water now. Because if a cup of cold water in Jesus' name gets a reward, we're getting 600. We're getting 600 here this coming week right on that alone. So I told my wife, I said, let's give away two bottles of water. That way we're getting doubling up, man. Who knows, if the Lord tarries, we might have 100,000 of rewards waiting just on the water part. Now, I'm serious. Be a generous giver. Listen to the Spirit of God in the matter of giving. You know, people go through hard times. They make bad mistakes. We know a situation where the lady's husband was a policeman in California. He went into the military. And I asked her, I said, if you don't mind my asking, what do soldiers make? $3,000 a month. Now, I could say some things on that, but I'll spare you on that point. And I said, well, really? That's it? Now, what we found out this week was that her house in California burned down 2 days after she left her house. Now, all I'm saying is this, is that be sensitive to the Spirit of God in the matter of giving, and the Lord will direct you along. And by the way, when you're a generous giver, God knows your address, and he can deposit some back in your account. I'm just telling you, that's the way it works. Number seven, be Spirit-filled. And by the way, when I got into a conservative church, you know what the pastor used to say? Yeah, brother, you better tithe, because if you don't, God will get it one way or the other. And I just want to tell you that God is not a mob boss. He's not a thug. He ain't no Don Gotti Jesus. I'm just telling you. And what kind of an image have we painted of our God? I mean, really, honestly. And by the way, tithing is not only an obligation and duty. It's a privilege, amen? So keep it positive. All right, number seven here. You want to have a ministry of refreshment? Be Spirit-filled. Be Spirit-filled. You know what that means? You got to keep your repentance current. We're leaky vessels. We leak out, so we got to be constantly getting refilled, right? And when you're filled with the love of God, you want to help people. That's why you got to pray, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. So being Spirit-filled is like the biggest deal. Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God, then the life of God is flowing through you to them. Now, along that line, Paul said, pray. Thank you for striving together with us in prayer. You can encourage people by praying for them. You can encourage people by praying with them. I had a man come to tell me last night. He said, I have people tell me this all the time. They say, Brother Harold, I pray for you every day. I'm stunned. Really? Man, what favor. The Lord knows I'm so prone to wonder. I guess he knows I need it. So he puts it on the hearts of people. And you know, that's encouraging. And you can encourage people by praying for them, and you can encourage them by praying with them. I have a friend who texts people, and he texts prayers. When I found out I had cancer, he'd send me text often, in quotes, Heavenly Father, thank you for ministering to brother. And he would write down the prayer in the form of a text. He calls it a texting ministry. So I've copycatted. So I can do that. You can do that. Now, what I'm saying is this, praying for people, praying for them. People are looking for somebody to help them overcome their fears. People are looking for somebody to believe in them. People are looking for somebody to care for them, be one of those people. And churches that care for one another and serve one another are communities of encouragement. Roger Baker had a church of 400 people, and He had about 400 people Sunday morning. He had about 400 people Sunday night and about 400 people Wednesday night. It was a highly committed kind of place. So he implemented what he called a care ministry, a care ministry. So he found a guy that was gifted, and he put him in charge, and they recruited 50 people who had a heart for people in the care ministry. And you know what they did? They trained the people to bird dog people. Like when they come in the door, if they look discouraged or burdened, then one of them would go up to them, and if it was a lady would go up and say, "Sister, how can I pray with you?" And she would share a burden, and they'd pray for her right on the spot before the service began. Or if it was a guy, the same thing. "Hey, hey brother, what can I pray with you about?" And share his heart, and they would. So they did. Started doing that. Then they started inviting visitors into their home for dinner or for lunch. They had started inviting people out to the restaurant who would visit the church, and people in the church who were going through, and they just started ministering to one another. And they implemented this. Now, here's the interesting thing. All they were doing was practicing New Testament Christianity. That's all they were doing. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Pray one for the other. It was the 22 one another commands. That's really what they were doing, was just practicing the word of God in terms of relational Christianity. Would you believe in 12 months that church doubled in size? 400, 800, and the only thing they did different was started caring for people. Intentional caring for people. And I'm telling you, this is huge. This is huge. It's absolutely huge. So every morning, prepare a mental list and pray like this. Now, Lord, who should I encourage today? And then listen. How many know it's okay to keep quiet sometimes and listen? Lord, who would you have me to encourage today? And you don't have to wait 30 seconds. You'll get at least two names. Okay, Lord, how should I encourage? A text, a prayer, a gift, a call, a visit, an email. And you know the Lord will give you directions. Now, think about this. If you do this every day for a year, that's about 800 people you alone will sow a seed of encouragement into in a year. A church with 100 people, think how many people could get ministered to simply by daily going to the Lord and getting marching orders. We knew this lady. Her name was Ida Brinkman. And we met her up in Kirtland, Ohio, and she was in a hospital bed sitting on the right-hand side of the auditorium with a trach tube, a breathing tube coming out of her throat. And I didn't pay a whole lot of attention until I got up to speak, and I looked over at her, and there she was, man. She had the countenance of an angel. I mean, her countenance was radiant. I mean, it was just captivating. You know, when you preach and speak to people, sometimes it's hard to find friendly faces. I used to think, man, these people are just hard. But I found out later they're not hard. They're burdened. That's what's wrong with them. They're just burdened. But she wasn't burdened. And, man, her face was just glowing. Well, I rushed through the sermon, went over and introduced myself. Found out her name was Ida Brinkman, and I said, "Ida, what's up? What are you doing here on the hospital bed with a breathing tube coming out of your throat?" And she said, 49 years prior, I contracted polio. She said, "I've been paralyzed for 49 years. Her husband was not a Christian. He took care of her, but he had died 2 years prior, and they put her in a nursing home, and I looked at Ida, and she told me her story. Her children wouldn't talk to her. And I mean, it was bad. And I said, Ida, your circumstances are awful. How do you seem to have such a good attitude?" And Ida said, "Harold, I try not to look at my circumstances. I try to look to Jesus." Well, I got inspired. You know, murmurer, whiner. I said, "Oh, we need to go see her." So my wife taught our children. She was the teacher. I was the principal. I'm in charge of field trips. So I arranged a field trip to the nursing home to see Ida because I wanted to see her. I figured it wouldn't hurt my family either to meet somebody like this. So it took them 30 minutes to get her presentable. We'd go into the room. Now, she only had the use of her big right toe sometimes to where she could punch a keypad on the phone. That was it. She couldn't do nothing else. And I'll tell you what, old Ida, she so impressed me, she became my hero of the faith. Now, I meet people whose heroes are football players. And, you know, if you want to go with the National Federation of Lunatics, you go ahead. But, buddy, I'm going with Ida. I'm just telling you, she is my hero. So every now and then, I said to her caretaker, I said, how could we encourage Ida? She said, well, it don't take much. Call, gift, flower, balloon, card. I said, okay. So every now and then, I feel impressed to do something. So I felt impressed one day to send her a flower. But I forgot it. Flew out of the country. My wife calls me up the next day. She said, Harold, Ida is gone. I said, what are you talking about? She said, Ida died last night. And I should have sent that flower, you know. So here I am, grieving over my loss of what I consider to be a hero of the faith. So I'm feeling really bad, you know. I hate death, amen. I don't like nothing about it, you know. I'm feeling really bad for about a minute or two, and then it dawned on me that old Ida has not got any breathing tube going on. She ain't laid up in no nursing homes with all that stink and all that mess, and she's probably dancing in heaven. That's what I believe. I don't care what you believe. That's what I believe. And I believe she's cutting all over the place up there because she hadn't walked in 50 years. And you know what? She had learned in her suffering to have a positive attitude. And I walked out to the truck after that visit, and I said, now, Lord, if old Ida can make it with her situation, you're going to hear less complaining out of me. And you know what? We need to look at it like that and to intentionally have a ministry of encouraging other people. Now, you've been shown mercy to show mercy. You've been blessed to bless. You've been given to give. You've been given peace to spread. So purpose to inspire other people. Here's your mission. You ought to aspire to inspire before you expire. You ought to aspire to inspire before you expire. I'm telling you, we need to sow into people. Just sow into people. Just sow into, and it don't take much. Are you with me? I mean, it is so rare. And when you got your radar up to minister to people, you'll find plenty of opportunities. So intentionally encourage people. Look for reasons to praise people. Motivate them to meaningful goals and speak hope and faith into their lives. Now, how many of you know somebody, when you get around them, they help you? How many of you know somebody, when you get around them, they light your fire? How many of you know somebody, when you get around them, they always lift you up? How many of you know somebody like that right there? It just always has a positive effect. So you need to purpose to be one of those people. And whatever they're doing for you, you start doing the same thing for other people, and you'll have the same impact on them. God wants us to be refreshers, to have a ministry of refreshment. Do you know you can refresh people by witnessing to them? I mean, I'm 62. I can't think of five people in my whole life that ever personally came up to me and tried to talk to me about God. There have been a few, but I'm telling you, like very, very few. And you know what an encouragement it would be to go to somebody and give them the gospel. So be a refresher. Now, how many, here's the application. All right, we're down to this, the application. How many of you sitting here tonight know somebody right now that's going through something and they need a ministry of refreshing? How many of you know somebody right now that's going through something and maybe they're depressed or discouraged or whatever, and they need a ministry of encouragement? How many of you know somebody like that? You know, we all know people like that. How many would take it as your personal mission to be the person that will go to them and seek to be a refreshment to them? How many will make a commitment with an uplifted hand? I'm going to the person I just lifted my hand about. Just go for it. Just do it, and every day do the same thing. You know, there's people here in the church that's going through hard times. And your turn's coming up, by the way. So let's do what we can while we can with what we have, where we are. Amen. You say, well, I don't have much ability. Quit focusing on what you don't got. Use what you do have. Granny Carpenter blessed the socks off me. Had to be a Church of God woman to come help me, brother. The rest of them didn't have it. But here she was with nothing. And here she is doing something to encourage all the time. So tonight, if you're going to have a ministry of refreshment, you need to learn to walk in the light as he is in the light and keep the refreshing going on in your soul, because his mercies are fresh every morning. And the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. So, just learn to bask in the light. Learn to get your sins under the blood. Ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what I do. Here's an idea for you. Before I speak, just about every time I pray like this. Now, Lord, if I've got something between me and God, I tell him about it. And then I say, Lord, I want to thank you that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all unrighteousness. God, thank you for a fresh cleansing, a fresh washing of the blood right now. Then I say, Lord, you said you'd give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So I'm asking for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Didn't you hear what I say? Thank you, Father, for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't have anything to do with how I feel. It's all a faith thing. Then I always pray this way. I said, Lord, I pray you would anoint the preacher. I pray you would animate the preacher. I pray you would anoint the service, the congregation, and the people that we might hear the voice of God. And then I say, thank you for the anointing of the Spirit of God on the service. And every day you can pray something like that. Every day you can get marching orders from headquarters. Lord, who you want me to encourage? Lord, how should I encourage? You just go for it. And I'll tell you what, your problems ain't going to look as big. I'm not saying you don't have problems. We all got some burden. Everybody's got to carrying something. But what I'm saying is this. When we have this kind of an attitude that gets us out of our navel gazing, our self-centeredness, and our self-pity, and anything that can get us away from ourselves is probably a good thing. Amen? And we're loving God and loving other people, a ministry of refreshment. Let's stand together tonight. Let's talk to the Lord. You're on mission tonight. You're on mission tonight. Now bow your head for a second. The person that you lifted your hand about, just ask the Lord right now. Now, Lord, how would you have me to encourage? Lord, how would you have me to encourage? And then just listen. And then just go for it. And do whatever the Lord talks to you about. Just go ahead and do that at first opportunity. The nights are young. You might need to make a call. You might need to make a text. You might need to make a visit. There might be somebody right here that you are prompted to pray with and pray for. Whatever it is, just do it. And every day, make it a lifestyle. Just commit it to the Lord right here in your heart tonight. Lord, I want to have a ministry of refreshment. Lord, I want you to make me a drink of ice cold water on a scorching hot day to people who's in the desert. Lord, make me, Lord, an encourager, a refresher. And Father, just use me. Just pray about that. Now pray right now and ask the Lord that Valley View Baptist Church would be an oasis in a spiritual desert. That we as members would be sensitive to people in the community, people in crisis, people in need, people who are grieving. Lord, make this church an oasis of refreshment to thirsty souls. Ask the Lord that this would be a soul-saving station. That the power of God, the Spirit of God, would hover over this place. And that harvest, there would be a tremendous harvest here. A season of harvest, of ingathering. Just ask the Lord for times of refreshing and harvest. And tremendous influx of conversions and spiritual activity. Now, you got one person in your mind you're going to minister to. I want you to commit that to the Lord. I want you to pray for the people around you. They've got somebody on their mind and somebody in their heart that they're going to go and seek to minister to. I want you to pray that God would give them special anointing and power and grace to be a help to the hurting. Let's pray for others. And let's ask the Lord to make us tender-hearted. Sensitive and keenly aware of opportunities as they arise, that we might seize the moment and have the ministry of refreshment to others. I'm going to pray, and then Pastor, I want you to come and direct our service. Father, thank you tonight for the ministry of refreshment. Thank you that David had a gift and he could help people like Saul. Thank you, Lord, for all of these texts that we read from the New Testament about the ministry of refreshment. Lord, we want to be that kind of people that, Father, we put energy into people. Lord, we speak life into people. We breathe hope into people. We bring faith to people. We bring encouragement to people. Lord, direct every one of us in our sphere of influence to have this ministry of refreshment. And these seven characteristics we talked about, Lord, we want to exercise every one of them. And Father, make us effective. I pray this church would be effective, Lord, with the lost of the younger ages, middle, young couples, middle age, and older folks, children. Lord, across the whole board, Lord, give us wisdom, God, to reach into this generation with the love of God and the power of God. Father, to see, Lord, impact made in our generation. So, Father, thank you for that. Father, thank you for this church. This is a warm, friendly church. Father, I pray that the community of encouragement that's already here would be amplified and multiplied. And, Lord, that the influence would go far beyond out into the community. Father, lead Pastor Boone to direct us from here.